Anyway, the first bill before Community Regional Affairs today with us will be Senate Bill 532, Municipal Ownership. Wait a second, are we doing Senate Bill or House Bill?
Seems like it ought to be an SB. We were working with an SB before.
Yeah, well, you know, we brought five.
Is that the House Bill too?
You got two duplications, but it's House Bill number 3.
The House Bill.
We were working on HB 300, which is the.
House Bill.
So the bill before us will be House Bill 300, right?
That's correct.
I wish I could get.
It's a lot longer than five things.
Okay, so.
I can know that by looking.
Well, 300 before the committee. And Dave Hutchinson's going to join us and talk to us about House Bill 300. Why don't you start off by educating us on the difference between 532 and 300 and see whether the committee likes that version first of all, and then we'll talk about amendments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Dave Hutchins, Executive Director of the Glassboro Electric Co-op Association. And the Senate Bill 532, is that the number? As I understand it, is identical to the first two sections of House Bill 300.
Section 1 and 2.
And there are four sections to House Bill 300. The sections 3 and 4 were the original bill in House Bill 300. In the House Judiciary Committee, sections 1 and 2, identical to your Senate bill, were added to it.
Okay. So which parts do you like?
Well, the sections 3 and 4 are what you're advocating. We have no objections to sections 1 and 2 either, but that just was added to the bill that we're interested in.
Okay, so which one do you know about?
Well, I can tell you about all of it.
All right, why don't you just tell us about the whole bill then?
Okay, now we're going to be working off of this thing, is that it?
We're going to work off House Bill 300, and we're going to be looking at Kramer.
The handwritten business on it?
I don't know what the hell this handwritten business is on it.
Apparently down on the floor.
No.
Can't they engross it?
No, I don't know. I like to know where my staff is. Too busy.
I saw her heading down the hill.
Heading down that way? Why don't you just explain us section 1, 2, 3, okay. And 4 in HB 300, Judiciary Amended House.
Okay. Sections 1 and 2.
Oh, that's what she's doing.
Sections 1 and 2 were the part that were added in the House Judiciary Committee, and together they have the intent of saving the city of Yakutat some money. They're in the process of buying the Yakutat Power Company. It's a small investor-owned utility. And like many investor-owned utilities, they've been able to take advantage of a particular feature of the Internal Revenue Code that permits the deferral of federal income taxes. And they can basically defer those indefinitely so long as it's an investor-owned utility. But if the corporation is disbanded and Yakutat municipality buys the assets of the corporation, then those taxes become due and payable. On the other hand, if they keep the corporation intact and buy the stock instead of the assets, they can continue to defer those taxes indefinitely. That's the purpose, is to save the cost of those federal income taxes.
That's what 1 and 2 does,
huh? Section 1 and 2.
There comes a good piece. 3 and 4.
Section 3 and 4 grew out of the APUC Sunset Review last year. They were introduced by the House Labor and Commerce Committee late in the session. And Section 3 is a simplification of the continuing property record requirements for regulated utilities. As it stands today, the statute is so precise and so detailed as to the kind of records that you have to keep by property location, by legal description, that it's virtually impossible to literally comply with what it requires. You'd have to identify every bolt and cross arm in your system by legal description of the real estate on which it sits. As a practical matter, nobody in the state is able to comply with the continuing property record statute. This is something that we've worked out over the last couple of years in talks with the APUC. They're agreeable with it as a realistic way to regulate the continuing property record requirements. Section 4 is the in our view, the most important section of the bill. This changes, in effect, the definition of a public utility by changing the definition of public. And the reason for doing this is to protect the utilities from having their service areas raided by independent power producers that could come in and serve the industrial customers in that area, pick them off, and leave the other consumers left to pay higher rates because the debt service and the depreciation and so on continues on the property that the utilities have to serve those large customers that they no longer be getting the revenue on. And the reason that it works that way is that the present law defines public as 10 or more customers. The change, and for that I would refer you to the proposed amendment at the first of this packet. It's a rewording that's done by the lawyers to clarify the language of a House floor amendment. I propose that you work from that amendment. So that the effect here is that the utilities within a certificated area of a utility, the public then, instead of being 10 or more customers, is one or more customers who together use $50,000 or more of service.
Questions? Senator Pierce.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like an example of what this is guarding against.
It's guarding against in a small community having someone come in and what we call cherry pick, serve the all of the fish processors, for example, in the community. There may well be fewer than 10 industrial customers of the small community, and yet the utility has a very large investment to serve those canneries, those fish processors, as an example. And if an independent power producer came in serving only them, they very well could serve them at slightly less than the rate from the utility. But everybody else would be paying a substantially higher rate because the utility is left to pay for that that debt service and the capital investment that they've got to serve those large customers.
Continue, Senator.
Does this keep a company, when the fish processing companies, for example, or through their own subsidiary, from providing their own power to themselves?
No, it would not prevent a customer from going self-generation and providing their own power. What it would prevent, though, is one, going self-generation and then serving, sizing it to where they'd serve their neighbors.
I guess I don't understand why in the communities where we already have a system, how it could be cheaper for someone to come in and provide their own service. Our fuel costs wouldn't be, is it because they don't have to build a distribution system?
When you have the concentrated sales in a small geographic area without having to have the distribution system and the small consumer scattered all over, where it's less expensive to serve large loads in a concentrated area than it is small loads scattered over a larger area. And it may well be possible in some communities.
Has it happened anywhere?
It has not happened as yet. It has been threatened a time or two, and we're just trying to protect the existing utilities before it happens.
Frank.
What kinds of flexibility do you have to offer industrial rates or excess capacity rates, or whatever you call those things?
We have had, Mr. Chairman, we've had problems with that in the past. The Commission has been better at working with us in recent years in getting industrial rates than we used to have. And nowadays, if we have an up-to-date cost of service study that shows what the rates ought to be between the various classes, we've no longer had problems in getting that kind of reasonable industrial rate.
Doesn't that seem to me, it seems to me like that would answer the problem in a theoretical sense. if you were allowed to charge the industrial rate, their avoided cost, I mean, the industrial concern, their avoided cost, there wouldn't be any incentive to put on new power. And I assume that that avoided, that their avoided cost would be less than the existing utilities' marginal cost of generation, if you understand what I'm saying.
Chairman, I do understand the point, and yes, ordinarily it would work that way, and I think that's why, to this point, we have not had people dropping off of the systems, and we've had this problem. But there have been two instances specifically, I'd rather not go into in detail, but there have been two specific cases where that has been threatened, and it's not necessarily a matter of economics. In terms of the motivation of the people to do it.
You're talking, they're just negotiating. They're just threatening and negotiating and that sort of thing. If I could continue.
Sure.
I guess then, somewhere in there, I mean, there's something good about the idea of industrial rates, even though some people may not appreciate that. Differential rates, rates that are more reflective of the actual costs, reflective of marginal costs or whatever. I mean, there's a whole lot of things involved in it. And I guess under this bill, would you wind up holding the company captive? I mean, I don't like to see a threat used. But I also don't want to see the utility, you know, without the kind of pressure to be efficient and offer the best service possible for industrial or large concern.
Mr. Chairman, Senator raises a very good point, and this section does not actually prohibit the cherry picking. What it does is place it under the jurisdiction of the PUC. And so that they could permit an independent power producer to come in and serve if they found it to be in the public interest. But they just couldn't automatically do it without regulation.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you. Would this in any way affect, for example, NSTAR, if they figure out how to get gas to Fairbanks, their ability then to sell gas in Fairbanks?
Mr. Chairman, I can't imagine how it would, because NSTAR is already a regulated utility, and there is no other utility certificated to serve gas in Fairbanks. And the normal procedure would be, if they wanted to do that, they would simply go to the commission and apply for a certificate to serve that expanded service area.
Continue.
I guess they wouldn't be, that's not generation. So nobody can come in and generate electricity where there's already a co-op, but you can come in and provide another cheaper power source or another cheaper alternative, like gas.
Mr. Chairman, each different kind of utility service has its own separate certification before the PUC. And the gas utilities are regulated, and only one utility is certificated to serve gas in an area. And that same area may be certificated to be served by electric utility and certificated again by a telephone utility. And so there wouldn't be any interplay there between the electrics and the gas, for example.
Other questions? Is there an amendment due? This your amendment?
The amendment was, Mr. Chairman, prepared by Legislative Legal Services. It's just a restatement of a floor amendment that was adopted in the House floor.
The floor amendment's incorporated in the House version that came over to us. What you're doing is rewriting Section 4. Section 4. Your interpretation of what it does, is this clean up the language?
That's all.
Does the same thing?
To It's my understanding that it does precisely the same thing as the substance of the bill when it came over from the House, but it just is restated by the lawyers as being clearer.
That's what staff says as well, huh?
So you feel good about it too?
My sources say.
Your sources say.
That replaces the English language, now the language.
That's the language that's written in, I think, into section four.
All of that language?
That handwritten part is will reflect the change.
So after the word product, it inserts on line 28, that following language.
Yes.
In service area, public utility, public purchase. Private service from the other than public utilities. Compensation received by the entity for the sale of utility products and services exceeds. How did it come up with $50,000 out of curiosity?
Mr. Chairman, $50,000 is the number that appears elsewhere in APUC statutes as the point at which certain kinds of utilities have to be certificated by the PUC.
Does this also deal with gas line utilities? So remember that deal we had up north where North Slope Borough was raising hell about that little gas line that was going to be extended for some utility, for some two or three commercial customers on the North Slope? That ring a bell with you anywhere?
I vaguely recall it, but I'm not knowledgeable about it.
What's the name of that outfit? You're familiar with that?
I know.
Drew?
Hmm?
What's the name of it?
Norgasco.
Gasco?
Norgasco.
Norgasco. Does this have, anybody know that this has any impact on them? Guess we wouldn't know, huh? Guess they don't. I guess they know. I thought I saw one of the people here today, but nobody knows. Okay. What do you guys want to do with the amendment?
Well, I think we're going to adopt the amendment. It's better language.
Better language. Okay.
You can't read the first one, so I'm not sure.
Let's take, so we have House Bill 300 before us. I'll take your amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt the amendment prepared by Kramer, 6-1283H-a.
Any objection? Hearing none, adopted. What would you guys like to do with this bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Frank.
I think I'm satisfied with the notion that we aren't prohibiting rather the service of this nature, rather we would bring them also under regulation. I'm a big fan of regulation, as all members know.
Who's the next committee for all?
And I think that it'd be wise to bring these type of concerns under regulation too. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that, unless anybody else has any questions or problems, that we move out CS for House Bill number 300. I guess it'd be Senate CS for House Bill number 300, CNRA, I guess is what it would be.
Sounds good to me. First, before I take that motion, is there anybody else I want to testify on a bill? Hearing nobody else wanting to testify, we will adopt, and hearing no objection, we'll adopt the committee substitute, appropriating the amendment, move it up with individual recommendations. Next bill before us, House Bill 480. They tell me that this sponsor is Representative Boyer. Is that right? And that the act authorizing loans for solid waste management projects for clean water fund. 4D will authorize loans for solid waste management projects for the Alaska Clean from the Alaska Clean Water Fund, and requires ADEC to give priority to these projects would alleviate severe health and environmental concerns. It's got a zero fiscal note. Frank Eagle's going to be here representing Mr. Boyer to brief the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is basically a very simple bill that just attempts to take care of one aspect of the massive solid waste project or solid waste problems that we have in the state. It expands the Alaskan Clean Water Fund to include solid waste management facilities. It sets up a prioritized order of waste management priorities for funding for loans through the fund. Would allow communities to borrow money to set up solid waste management facilities so that they could properly handle this massive problem, and
If you have any questions, I can certainly answer them.
Any questions?
I guess, Frank, I'm not very familiar with the Clean Water Fund. Is that something that there's money in? Or is it general funds or is it
Federal
funds?
I presume they're general funds. Right now, it's a 20% state funding, and it gets 80% of federal money. But those are only right now for pure water or a solid or wastewater treatment. So it doesn't have anything to do with solid waste. This just expands the fund that would have to be funded through the general fund.
Okay, it wouldn't be eligible for federal funds.
No.
We put money in the first section of the budget each year to kind of replenish our share.
But so would we have to make, this is all co-mingled then? Are there restrictions? I assume there's restrictions on what projects are eligible to qualify for federal funds, and if it's a 20-80 match, then those projects, I mean the water projects would go forward. We'd have to make a separate appropriation probably into the fund.
For solid waste management, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Was there a appropriations measure to go along with this bill? Or
not at this time.
Thank you.
Same question.
Senator Adams.
Since you need to capitalize on that, what is the department's estimate to capitalize on getting this money?
There are more than $177 million worth of projects out there. It would be up to the legislature to appropriate as they deem necessary. Where the money comes from is only something you gentlemen can answer.
Well, when it's in the Clean Water Fund, there is money in the Clean Water Fund, so when you're adding another category of grant, you're competing with whatever else is coming out of the Clean Water Fund. But there is a fund already established, and this year we're proposing a couple $1 million to go into the Clean Water Loan Fund in the front section of the budget. In the past, we started capitalizing. I think the first one was $10 million, but I'm sure most of it's gone.
Probably by now. If not, I'll get a piece of it. Senator Frank.
Yeah, on the our plan, do we make the actual, we don't make the determination, the legislature doesn't determine which grants are approved, the department does?
The department does.
The department does. Okay, how are they going to distinguish between wastewater programs that are 80% eligible for federal funds and solid waste that aren't eligible for federal funds? I assume there must be some distinction. I assume that the monies for the wastewater don't just come into a pot and can be spent on anything we want to spend it on, that they would have to be spent for clean water, water projects, not solid waste. So it would seem like, if we put $2 million in there for this combined fund, we can attract, $8 million worth of federal funds if we use it on clean water programs. But if we use that $2 million for solid waste, we wouldn't get that $8 million. So
it would have to be a separate appropriation specifically for solid waste management facilities. It wouldn't capture any federal money at all.
And do you know if there's a limit? There must be obviously a limit on how much federal funds we're eligible for. And are we going for the max now?
Yes. In fiscal year 91, there'll be $14.8 million worth of federal money available, of which we're going to have to come up with approximately $2.8 million in state money.
Okay, so for this really to be effective, we'd have to appropriate more than $2.8 in, because the first $2.8 would go to match the federal funds to capture those, and then anything we put in above that could be used for either or, but we wouldn't be jeopardizing federal funds by spending them on the solid waste.
Exactly. This just really sets up a mechanism in the program for loans to be made available to communities if money is available in the fund.
Okay, so I wasn't clear on that. So there's been no change in federal law to allow cost sharing for solid waste?
No.
Okay, so it's 100% of solid waste, even though we get a match out of the clean water portion for water and sewer projects.
Exactly.
Any other questions for the committee on this bill? Senator Frank.
Senator Borchardt.
You all look the same. White shirt, tie.
Is there someone from DEC?
Jeff Mock, I'm with the Solid Hazardous Waste Section. I can maybe answer your question, but Gary would probably be the correct person.
Gary moved it.
We him?
Chuck.
Oh. You owe us one, Dick.
Oh, he wanted that other one?
I think so. He was here last time. Mr. Chairman, my question really is, what's the department's position on the legislation? And the first concern, I think, as Senator Frank mentioned too, is does it jeopardize what we're trying to do with the water fund?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm Jeff Mock. I'm chief of the Solid and Hazardous Waste Section with the department. No, I don't think that it would. I think you correctly characterized that, that for solid waste management projects, it would have to come from that those funds that are appropriated beyond the match requirements, or if the department were not seeking any of those federal funds, would be where that money could be used for solid waste management projects.
And are you, do you support the legislation?
We do, because we feel it provides a very good alternative funding mechanism. Right now we have the capital projects that can be requested. We also have the Village Safe Water projects that can be requested by grant. This would provide a way to provide low interest loans to those communities that could afford to pay those back. And we see that as a very good alternative mechanism for funding some of these projects.
Other questions? Frank.
Yeah, thank you. There are no federal funds available for solid waste at all?
Not at this time. That may be possible further down the road. One of the things that we see coming up in the future is congressional action to reauthorize the Federal Resource Conservation Recovery Act that most people normally think of as managing hazardous waste, but also is the federal law for solid waste. And in some of the bills that have been proposed before Congress now, there are a number of demonstration grants, and I would presume that there will be loan projects also proposed in some of those bills, whatever vehicle that finally takes. So I think it would be a good step in the right direction in case those do become available, but you are correct, there is nothing now.
Thank you. Thank
you,
Mr.
You have a dump that's filling up, right?
Oh boy, do we ever. $26 million placement.
Anybody else like to testify? Hearing no other public testimony, what's the start of the committee? Senator Pichelle?
Mr. Chairman, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we report out Senate Bill House Bill 480 with individual recommendations.
No objection. 480 is moved out of individual recommendations. Senate Bill 478 is with before us now. Representative Ulmer's bill. I'll let you explain it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 478 provides technical planning assistance grants to municipalities of up to $50,000 to do solid waste management planning and recycling planning so that communities have the opportunity to explore solutions that make sense for those communities. It also expands the Department of Environmental Conservation's ability to provide that technical assistance. It lists out a hierarchy of solid waste management so that we're kind of on the record as a state of preferring waste reduction, recycling, and then disposal. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer questions.
How about the rest of them? Any questions from the distinguished committee? Or have you already done your usual good homework with all of them?
I have had the opportunity to speak with most of the committee members, but
Senator
not at
Pierce.
Great length.
I didn't have a question.
Any other public testimony in this bill? Hearing none. Is there Senator Frank?
I just wondered, was this the bill with the song? Or was this,
this one didn't have a song.
Actually, Senator, the day that we introduced all of these bills, we did a wrap on the floor of the House. And if you would like a copy, I'll be happy to make one available to your office.
Oh, I was thinking of the poem one, but.
That's okay. It is. I mean, it's like a wrap as in poem. Yeah.
All right. Senator Adams.
I'm not going to make anything, but I'm going to go along with moving on the bill. But on the priority list on page number 2, lines 9 through 12, I think the priority list is backwards, but you know, it's just with my location in it, so, but I'm fine with the bill.
How did you come up with that priority list?
Mr. Chairman, I would be happy to have the Department of Environmental Conservation speak to you on that issue, but this pretty much reflects what is an evolving policy, not just here in the Northwest, but throughout the United States. That is, first of all, you try to reuse, you try to reduce the amount of garbage that you have to deal with, and then you finally dispose of it. And it's so that you don't have as much volume to have to dispose of. Basically, it's sort of a common sense approach that says that if people use fewer disposable things, if they can reuse that which they can reuse, if you can take out of the waste stream that which you can recycle, you'll just have less left over with which you have to either burn or bury.
Thank you. Any other comments? Anybody else like to testify? Desire of the committee? Senator Pierce.
I would move CS for House Bill 478, CNRA with individual recommendations.
There are no objections. Move that individual recommendations. Last but not least, one
and
of.
The fiscal
and fiscal law. Last but not least, like take up with the committee's indulgence, an old friend of ours that's been around the committee for a couple of years that is off to the races. Senator Bill 279. Senator Adams.
Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is move the committee substitute so we have something in front of us to discuss, and then perhaps I know you have worked on this in the interim and the difference between this one and the original bill. With that, I'm going to move a committee substitute for Senate Bill number 279 CRA.
Any objection? Hearing none of the bills before us. Now, who'd like to explain the bill? Here he comes. And in the lead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Reinwald. I'm here today representing Simulcast Racing Alaska, Inc. In a nutshell, what this bill is a substantial rewrite of the bill that was before you last year. And if you remember, the bill before you last year was basically a for-profit, privately operated, privately owned entity to bring simulcast horse racing to Alaska. And we had a presentation before the committee, and you were all here for that, so I won't rehash that. There were considerable number of policy and substantive questions raised about that bill. We have spent fully a year trying to talk to everyone who had any conceivable concern with this legislation. And basically what is before you is a bill which substantially changes the thrust of the legislation. First of all, it would not be a private for-profit entity. It would be an entity that would be organized to operate only for charitable, nonprofit gaming purposes. It would come under that statute, number one. Number two, and you can see this, forget where it's broken out, but it basically takes it and puts it under the charitable gaming statutes is one of the most. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. We just had too many problems going the other direction. We know what those problems were. This bill, I'm not sure, you know, ultimately what will happen with it. It's got two other committees, as you know. But we have, I can't tell you how many hours the sponsors of this legislation, people who are interested in seeing this go through, they talk to everyone. We have groups lined up in Anchorage who are interested in participating in this. Big Brothers Big Sisters, the group that operates the Fur Rendezvous, and others. And so I guess in summary, Mr. Chairman, that in a nutshell is what it does. We could go through it line by line, but that's really what it accomplishes. And it's frankly just a hope to answer all of the concerns that we've heard, and we have talked to virtually everybody who had a concern about the bill.
Wow. Interesting novel approach, isn't it?
It kind of makes for quick reading.
Really gets to judiciary.
Mr. Chairman, I might add, it does have two more committees. So. Okay.
Questions, committee?
So,
Senator.
So it's, instead of a bingo parlor, you've got an off-track or mutual parlor.
Correct.
Racing parlor.
Correct.
Which probably doesn't look much different.
It doesn't look much different.
Okay.
So this is kind of like offline Hess budgeting, really.
Offline Hess budgeting. That's one way to look at it.
Mr. Chairman, that's actually true. It's amazing how many people are lining up that have people who have permits who would be interested in participating in this activity. But seriously, we have tried to accommodate every conceivable interest, and this seems to be the only hope for getting something through, quite frankly. That's why the bill's in the form that it's in.
We should have thought of that for video gaming, just non-profit video gaming.
This one will probably find a companion next to that one up there around the same area. Is it still up in finance?
I don't bet he's built. Historic
nonprofit gaming.
There you go. Historic nonprofit gaming.
But they haven't done it.
Actually, it is not.
Anybody else like to testify on the bill out of curiosity? No public testimony? At this time, what's the committee's desire?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adams.
Yes, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill number 279 CRA be moved out of committee with individual recommendations.
Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you very much.
Committee adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Well,
you
model guys
of cut, expediency today.
Cut through the wood, just doing good.
That is interesting. You just add it to fish turkeys.
Yeah.